I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. Just a couple of us this evening. Myself, Gareth Barkan, I'm joined by Mick Yloff. Good evening, Mick.
Good evening, Gareth. How's it going?
I mean, the fact that there's two of us here would probably tell you how it's going, let's be honest. Maybe we should start with that, really, because Joy has been doing this. This is the 993rd episode of the Wise Men Say podcast, right? And I think even though, like, we've been in situations where, you know, being relegated to League One, relegated from the Premier League, trying to stay up, we've been through countless managers, you know, some controversial appointments, all that kind of thing. I feel as though, like, we've probably got the biggest group of people we've ever had involved in the podcast. Not a huge group of people, but enough. I reckon I would say across the board, this is the most apathetic it has ever been. And this is why there's two of us here, because I think people, it's kind of reflective of the mood of the club at the moment, where people are a bit like, I just can't be arsed anymore.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't think it's uncommon, actually, to have just two people on the podcast, which it's a shame in a way, but like you say, you can't blame anybody. It's just, the season, to say that it's just like kind of meandering to its conclusion would be an understatement, because it's not even as though you've got nothing to play for, and it's like quite nice because you've exceeded expectations, which if was say come 10th last season, you could maybe argue and you won a few games and there's a bit of a feel-good factor with just basically nothing about the season feels mid-table. You know, it feels like kind of ever since Mowbray left, really, it's just been like relegation form in every single way possible. Like when you look at a sample size of going on for like almost half a season, you know, you're looking at kind of like relegation form, and it's just really, really worrying, isn't it, really? Just a trend. And then, of course, the uncertainty of the manager and stuff like that. It's just, there's nothing really to get behind. I just feel like we're in this limbo now until we do get to the end of this season and we can finally try and see what change is going to happen.
It usually be going like in this scenario, well, we're comfortable. We'll, you know, experiment a bit, try some younger players, all that kind of thing. Well, we already are, the team is all younger players, so we do that every week anyway. It's just a bit, it's just odd. I mean, I mentioned that on the pod last Monday about how it was, this is probably the first season, certainly since we've been doing this, where there's been nothing, absolutely nothing to play for. But it's like you say, it's been coupled with a lot of sort of negative aspects on the pitch as well. So it doesn't have that feel of that time that I vaguely remember when we did have nothing to play for and it was all right. I mean, it's just, we could talk about the game. I mean, it's been the same as most of the games recently. Huff and puff, create nothing, concede a goal and lose a game. I think that's probably it, really.
It's also two games in a row where really it was a very 0-0 game, and again, we've come on the wrong side of a 1-0 defeat. I would argue on Saturday, I do think, out of a few chances in the game, we had the better ones and probably on that balance of probability could have won the game, but the performance was still very uninspired. Like you say, it's the football really since like Dodds has took over charge till the end of the season. It's just been very stodgy, very predictable. And I think after the Blackburn game, he's just absolutely petrified of like taking another doing. So he's just kind of like being quite pragmatic and shut up shop. And it's just, as you say, it's just very uninspiring, like tepid football. And he used to be meandering at the end of the season, like I said.
I mean, it's very, from a team selection perspective, every week it does feel a little bit names out of the hat. Players coming on in weird positions. Players starting in weird positions. I mean, Ashley's playing basically the focal point. I guess Neil's out, fair enough. But, you know, I mean, this is a contradictory statement given what I've just said, but honestly, I'd rather go, well, we'll put Hume in midfield and keep Pembele in on the right. Or put Styles in the middle and put Hjelder in on the left, something like that, rather than think, well, we'll stick Ashish up front because he's not really that kind of player at all. Or you play one of your strikers, which we apparently have, and they, I mean, they can't get in the team. They're about third or fourth choice, fifth choice, and we're in a team with who start regularly without a forward, really. I don't know, it just feels like there's nothing really there, is there, on the pitch at the moment. You're kind of in this holding pattern.
No, we completely are. Like I say, even if, like, and again, making the argument to chuck the kids in when there are very few kids really left to chuck in, it's a little bit of a kind of catch-22. But I do agree with you in that, like, Hamia, obviously, we've criticised him a lot on the podcast, and I just simply don't think he'll ever really make it to Sunderland. But we did give him a 4 or 5 year deal, so therefore you'd think that when there is nothing riding on the games, you'd get the opportunity to give him like 90 minutes to try and like integrate him into the team, see what he's about. And we're just trying, like you say, these like weird combinations. Like, I understand like Job's worked up front to a point this season, but the longer he plays there, the more you say, well, he's not really like a natural centre forward, so I understand like not persisting with him. But then, like you say, we just randomly throw an Ashish in. We tried Bradley Datt against Millwall. It's just an element of, as you say, throwing mud at the wall and hoping something sticks. I mean, we did that with the strikers actually early on in Dodds' like interim spell, where he started like Burstall 1 week, Cruz in the next, and then Hamea the next. And just as I say, like, the messages are just like quite mixed. And but no matter what changes we make, I think the football still seems very... I think you made the point under Bill about like overcoaching. I think that's been kind of like been even worse under Dodds, in the, as I say, it's very much like kind of under-23s football and very stodgy. There's no like off-the-cuff kind of like free-flowing football that we used to see. And I think it's telling now, where last season it was very rare that we didn't score in a game, and now we just don't look like scoring in a game. Even at the weekend, I mean, Jack Clark had a couple of chances, which usually he'd have done better with. But other than that late chance for Roberts as well, it just, as I say, we're not like really creating anything. It's all kind of like knock down some second balls. We occasionally get some joy, but nothing in an open play. It's just, like I say, it's just very, very predictable. And you just wonder kind of like at the weekend, like again, like we could, if we don't beat Sheffield Wednesday, sorry, you're looking at from February the 10th till the end of the season, not win the game at home. And it's just, as I say, it's just all, like I say, like the stats now we're looking at, they're not like the good ones like we had last season. We're now looking at, well, Blackburn hadn't won away from home since December or whatever. They came and beat us 5-1. Watford hadn't won at home since November. They turned us over. We are kind of becoming like Bernardo's FC now, where we're just kind of like giving it to like kind of like needy teams that need things. And it's just not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, and it's difficult sometimes as well when you, how do you analyse something that's clearly been, you know, thrown in the bin? It's like the season was chucked in at the end of January, start of February. And it's like, well, how do you judge that? Because if there's no ambition to do well, almost, there's no point to what we're doing. It's kind of like, I don't know, well, how do you pick the bones out of that? It's like you're just waiting until the summer. I mean, on the subject of the summer, a few conversations around that over the weekend and in the last sort of 5 or 6 days. Firstly, on the manager situation, a guy who's involved with Bayern Munich, is it? Like, I mean, this is great research by me, isn't it? Murich, I believe he's called. Do you know what it is? I don't pay so much attention to it until it happens. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because you get linked with so many different things and players, ideas, whatever. But yeah, there was this discussions around this guy. And to be fair, if you're talking about the model, this would arguably be the closest thing we've got to when it comes to a managerial appointment in that mould. So no, absolutely nothing about the guy. What are your thoughts on potentially appointing a 31-year-old?
No, I think like nowadays in like kind of modern football, I think the age of a manager isn't as much of a thing as what it used to be. Yes, 31 would still be unusually young, but it's not like in the past where if a manager was kind of like younger than any of the players, it was seen as a bit of like a shock thing. I don't think that's the case now. I mean, like Danny Rule, when he took over Sheffield Wednesday and he's been in the job, he was only 34 years old. And we've seen it like quite a few times now, these really young managers are having a good impact. And yeah, I mean, obviously, if he's got background at Bayern Munich, he's obviously got something about him as a coach. And in a way, I think the unknown is exciting. And this is not based on a lot, and it kind of contradicts a lot of logic, but I think I would probably be more excited by that and more infused than appointing an out-of-work British coach, to be honest with you. But as I say, I'm not going to pretend I know too much about him, and the link, it doesn't seem to be too much in it at this stage. There seems to be like a bit of chatter about it, but we'll see what happens. But as I say, and I agree with you, it does kind of like align a lot more with kind of like the idea of the model. And it was a lot more akin to the sort of managers we were linked with before we appointed Michael Beale. So it remains to be seen what happens in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I'd be happier to see something, us do something like that and furnish that manager with the correct players to get the job done. You know, if you've got somebody who's a younger coach, I think you're certainly going to have to furnish him with a layer of experience in that squad to pull everyone along. I think, say, that wouldn't be a problem for me, the age thing. But yeah, I think if you get the recruitment right in the summer, and on that as well, would actually been lots of sort of ITK chat about, is it Chris Willock? I'm trying to remember which Willock it is.
It is.
it is Chris, yeah, not the mag one. At QPR, who looks a really tidy player, actually. Good age, lots of games in the championship. And as we said before, this is the kind of signing we should be kind of looking at, I think. So I think if we can get somebody like that in as a start, right, straight away as a starting point as soon as the season's finished, and to announce that on, you know, July the 1st he's going to be joining. Yes, it's another attacking midfielder. But he's got good pedigree. And, you know, he looks a decent player.
Yeah. Like you say, he's a good age, because I think there's a temptation that some people get twisted when, you know, we complain about a lack of experience. We're not saying sign like 34-year-olds. Like, we're saying like people like Chris Willock, who are still kind of like in the mid-20s, but they've got like a really good like body of work, like 150 games in the Football League. And they've, every time I've seen a player, like you say, it looks like a good, neat and tidy player. His end product's not always there, but then again, like if it was there, he probably would be looking to go to a better club than us. So fair enough. I think it's a step in the right direction. And hopefully we can kind of flesh out the squad with a few more players of that ilk. Like I say, with a bit of experience to help the likes of Job and Reagan, your really talented youngsters, like, flourish and look good in the team. Because I think that's been the issue of this season. There's a lot of young players, I think, have looked worse than the actual sum of the parts, because we're looking at lads, say, we're like 22, 23, to be the experienced head and be the experienced voice, when that's not been quite fair. And I think what we've kind of done as an overall trend is expect slightly too much of all of the young players. So therefore, we're not seeing like the performances on the pitch, and there's no opportunity to rotate them, and they've had to play such an integral role. So hopefully, like you say, if we can supplement the squad with a little bit. Head coach, then, as I say, it could be good for us going forward.
Yeah, I think it would be a good positive indicator about summer recruitment. You know, I'd be more than happy with bringing someone like that in. So let's hope that it's, well, my opinion, I hope it's more than a rumour, and he's through the door as soon as possible, and that's what we need. We need the manager through the door, the squad, the players through the door as soon as possible. I think, you know, going back slightly to Saturday, I thought, in the last few weeks as well, where you look at someone like Abdullah Bar, who has been, it'll be starting in August. It'll be.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The club for 2 years. And recently, like, I kind of think, well, he must have played about 70 games. Not starting every game, but he must have about 70 appearances, surely. I'm kind of looking at him going, should we not be starting maybe him like every game? And going, well, you've been here long enough. You know, when are you going to be starting regularly in this team? And you kind of think, like, if we are basing it around the fact that the plans around the fact that we sign these players young and then give them enough games to get the stage where they're going to be regular first team starters making an impact, you think now's sort of the perfect time. Someone like him, you go, right, you're playing every game at the end of the season regardless. And then he was out the squad the other week, hasn't started again last couple of games, whatever. Whatever you think of him, I just think it's a bit, feels a bit like I'd rather try him as a false nine than like play Bradley Dack. I mean, there's just no point.
No, and again, I think with Bar, I think we've seen it from a variety of different head coaches. I don't think either of them quite know what his best position is. I mean, from a personal viewpoint, I think he has more of an impact than playing out wide, because I think he can like really stretch the game. We saw that against Southampton when we won 5-0. He can be very, very good at stretching the game. He's got a good leap on him. So if you do want the option to play a bit of a diagonal out wide, you can win it in the air, and he's arrived at the back post a few times to score goals, like against Watford at home earlier on this season, down QPR as well. But again, I think that just speaks volumes, though. We've had this lad in the building now for 2 years, and I don't think anyone at the club quite knows, right, what's his best position? Do we start them? Do we not start them? And it's just, this is a bit of a thing across the board. It's like we sign these young players with a view to them developing long term, but we don't really seem to have that much of a plan in place for them. So you look at Jerison Bennett, like he can't, I don't know if he's been injured or what, but he can't even get in the match day squad out in Greece, and he'll have been at the club for 2 years. We've had like Triantis in the building for nearly a year, the same with Mayenda, and they're both on loan at Hibs, who couldn't get off the bench at the weekend. it's just, as I say, like, it's all very well signing these players, but you've got to have these long-term plans and long-term processes for them in terms of getting in the first team or getting resale value from them. And I think that's my biggest worry about, like, how the model's fallen down in the past 12 months, because, yes, sometimes you get a player like Pierre Etoile who it takes him 2 or 3 months to get into the team, but once he's in, you can see, right, he might have his flaws, but he's essentially a first-team-ready footballer. But with a lot of the lads we've signed from abroad, we just haven't seen that. And as I say, and when that's, it's okay with the occasional isolated player, but when it's nearly everyone that we've signed, it is a little bit worrying. You do wonder, like, how much actual, like, planning goes into it when the whole premise of the model is it supposed to be really fluid and you're supposed to have these processes and plans in place.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, I'd look at Alshish as another one in that bracket where I'd be going, we need to, and yeah, he did start up front at the weekend. I just think we need to be a bit more mindful of who's going to be here next year, the games that they need to play to make an impact. And you know, the more games they get under the belt, the better. And you should be saying to them, look, you know, we've got another manager coming in. You've been brought in this, you know, with these, you the fact that you're a prospect in mind. Won't put in a level of performance which is going to entice a new head coach into wanting to integrate you more as a first-team regular. But it just seems we're always searching to get 11 on the pitch in some capacity that are just going to compete in the game. It doesn't feel as though we're just going to say we're going to play this way. Everyone's, you know, being moved here, there and everywhere. And I mean, to be fair, we've had a lot of clean sheets and things like that. But from a attacking perspective, when we've invested probably most of our time and budget in attacking players, we've really fallen short in the last sort of 40% of the season, really. I mean, on the recruitment thing, obviously there was sort of rumours circulating about Christian Speakman and being linked with Leon. I mean, what do you make of that?
To be honest, I'm not too interested in debate and kind of a lot of the discourse that seems to be around about, oh, has he been a success? Has he been a failure if he does go? Because we can all kind of discuss that when he's gone. But what I am more concerned about and kind of interested in discussing is what implications is this going to have on our short-term future? Because, again, if we are to believe the kind of narrative that likes to be put out by the ownership, but we are this forward-thinking progressive club who have all these great processes in place, we will already have, like, a sporting director identified who will bring in. You either need to do that or we go back to the old system, which I wouldn't actually be in favour for, of, like, the head coaches dictating a lot of the recruitment, because I think in the modern structure where managerial tenures are so short, I think you do need, like, some kind of sporting director so you have a continuity in terms of how you recruit. So that would be my concern. I mean, obviously, as people know from listening to the pod, I'm not Speakman's biggest fan. I'm not his biggest critic either, but I think it's a lot more important of, like, how you replace him. And then on the flip side, is Speakman still going to be the man then who is appointing the new head coach or playing a large part in appointing the new head coach? Has our recruitment plans already been finalised for the summer, given our league trajectory for quite a long time now? I think the kind of short-term future of the club, which will have more medium to long-term consequences, is of greater concern to me as to than whether Speakman has done a good job or a bad job, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's completely a subjective thing, isn't it? Because if you take it from in the good job, bad job thing, if you take it from the point where at our lowest point in our history to where we are now, it's better. But I kind of feel as though it's quite a low bar. We should never have been in that division for 4 years. And that's not being, like, arrogant or entitled. It's just with the kind of club we are, we should have really had better, logically, created better scenarios for ourselves. And now when they kind of did, we brought in some decent players for that level and got ourselves out of it, even though we only finished fifth in the division. And then we had, you know, an excellent season last year. I think it was just the chemistry was right with the players, the good blend of players that we had. Still a lot of younger players in there, but we had some good forward options for the first half of the season anyway. And you know, the two managers who, you know, were in charge over that period were all, you know, were a good fit for that group. But now I agree with you looking at it and go, well, what would happen in the interim? I guess it would be Stuart Harvey probably would be, you know, leading that element of it. He'd probably be in charge of, alongside whoever the manager they've appointed, of doing that. But it kind of feels like we should logically have identified all the players that we want to bring in the summer ages ago anyway. I mean, some others could come up, but I guess it doesn't matter too much if we've already got that lined up. Is somebody going to come in and say, no, all these players are crap, we're going to do this instead? I doubt it. They'd probably just go along with it and then build on that. So yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. It's a bit of a wait and see what will happen and react to it then, I guess, and have you can have that debate about whether he's been good or bad or whatever at that stage. But yeah, I mean, there's not probably a lot more to talk about from a football perspective at the moment. It's just all very flat. Have you spoken to anybody who said that they're not gonna bother with the last game of the season?
I think I would be one of them if I didn't live about a mile away from the stadium, to be quite honest. But yeah, it's kind of like a sense of duty at the minute. I think most of the people I know are going because it's just last game of the season. Traditionally, people enjoy a bit of like a piss of daughter on the last day. Like, hopefully, it'll be decent weather, early kickoff, bank holiday, you know, hopefully. Yeah. A lot more to look forward to other than the football. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't blame anybody for being there at the weekend. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. It'd be quite funny, wouldn't it, if with facing Sheffield Wednesday as well, if obviously they stayed up at Sunderland. After obviously we got promoted after beating them in the playoffs there in League One, I quite like Sheffield Wednesday. I'd quite like them to stay in the league. So I mean, we've lost loads of games. We might as well lose another one and they can stay up, and they'll be about next season. I'm not really bothered. Couple of other bits and bobs. Obviously had sad news this week that Charlie Hurley passed away. Obviously. A legend for so many people involved with Sunderland supporters and, you know, managers. You know, Martin O'Neill supported Sunderland because Charlie Hurley was his favourite player. You know, my dad always used to say that Charlie Hurley was his favourite player. I remember my dad seeing Charlie Hurley outside the 1998 playoff final at Wembley, and he was being mobbed for autographs. And, you know, my dad went and got a photo with him because he was his favourite player when he was a kid. And there'll be, you know, a generation of fans out there who, you know, they've probably lost their hero. So, and, you know, we had a training ground named after him before the stadium of light, and obviously the gates are at the stadium itself. So a real significant contributor to the history of Sunderland Football Club, and, you know, really, really sad news. So, you know, condolences and, you know, thoughts all those supporters out there who, you know, lost a hero. Really sad news again today. Jack Shield, who had been on this podcast a few times when he was a student at Sunderland University. You'd probably see him seen his picture on social media related to the news today. He's passed away at the age of 29. Absolutely tragic. Just like to wish all his, you know, friends and family condolences on the back of that news, because he was a lovely lad, you know, self-facing, good laugh, yeah. And you know, always willing to have a chat when you saw him. So yeah, really incredibly sad news, you know, such a young age, and he'd been through some difficult stuff, you know, with his health in the last few years. So to hear that news this morning was really sad. So I just want to pass on, you know, from Wise Men saying our condolences to Jack's family and friends. But yeah, it's doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of good to talk about at the moment, to be honest, Mickey.
No, definitely not. And I would just like to add on Jack as well. Like, he was just like a fantastic lad. Like, I've known him for about like 10 years now. And he was just one of them faces whereby, like, when you went to away matches, because I've seen so many people say, oh, I didn't really know Jack, but as soon as I saw his face, I knew who he was. And I used to see him at every away game. And like you say, he was just one of them lads. He could have a good laugh. He'd take a mick out of himself quite often. And he was instrumental in getting the Horton branch off the ground for a lot of people over the last few years. And I've been on quite a few away trips with him. And he was just great. Like, he was one of them people, like, you get on the bus and he'd be like, how we get yourself here? I've saved your seat at the back. And we'd just sit and, like, kind of, like, pass the time of day, have a good bit of crack. And one of them people, even I hadn't seen him for half a season, would just have, like a mint catch-up and that. And it was just always a much better day if he was on your bus. So RIP, Jack, and keep Red Flag flying high, mate.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's probably only a couple of podcasts left towards the end of the season. I think Matt and Richard are going to be back to preview on Thursday, and I think the plan is to do a bit of a reaction, sort of final reaction pod on Saturday after the game, so we can just get the season done, so you don't have to come back on Monday or Tuesday with it being a bank holiday and talk about whatever happened. We could be back, I'm sure we'll be back through the summer and whatnot with bits and bobs as things develop. So keep an ear out for all that. But as I say, Matt and Richard will be back on Thursday. So cheers, Mickey, for joining us. I appreciate it. You put your hand up in a sea of silence. So thank you for rescuing me, because I was going to be doing it on my own. It would have been a monologue otherwise. And thank you all for listening and putting up with the aural misery of the Wise Men Say podcast for the last 3 months, because it has been painful. But, you know, maybe things will get better in the next sort of 3 or 4 months, and we'll be back all chipper in August. But yeah, Matt and Richard will be back on Thursday. As always, thank you very much for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.